Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Yes, it's the Michael Steele Podcast. How's it going? I'm glad you could be with us. Certainly want you to check us out on all the places where you go to get podcasts. That's the crazy stuff, Rick. I don't understand why we have to do it, but we got to do it because we want folks to download, right? That's how this works. So I'm excited to have Rick Wilson back with us because today, folks, as you know, was not just a phenomenally wild and crazy day politically, but the country, I think, is on the precipice of, if not in the throes of, a constitutional crisis. And to help us kind of walk through exactly what we heard from the president in the Rose Garden announcing a national emergency at our southern border is none other than Rick Wilson, Republican consultant and Daily Beast columnist. He is the author of the book. You've got to have to check this. It's going to be great. Everything Trump Touches Dies. And a little bit of that happened today. A Republican strategist gets real about the worst president ever. You can follow him on Twitter at the Rick Wilson, and he has some hell of a good tweets out there. Rick Wilson, welcome back, man. It's good to have you.
Hey, brother. It is a hell of a day. You know, who knew we'd wake up on at the end of another infrastructure week and have ourselves a constitutional crisis?
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's just so, folks, in case you just have, you know, you've just had your head in the Kool-Aid all day, you don't know what's happened. The president for some time has been dancing with this idea, right, of having to declare a national emergency because he wasn't getting his way with the wall. And Nancy Pelosi had pretty much boxed his ears at every turn since becoming Speaker of the House. Republicans in the Senate and the House aren't behind this idea. They weren't from the very beginning, because if they were, hell, we would have had this, 2 years ago, Rick, when he had a majority in the House and the Senate. Didn't happen. So the president begrudgingly agrees to the plan that puts about $1.4 billion into what arguably his supporters can call a wall, but the rest of us know isn't a real wall. It goes into things like the infrastructure of border security, technology, personnel, reshoring of barriers that are already in place.
Sensor packages, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as I said 8 months ago now, when this whole thing really started roiling up, you know, give the president something he can go out and beat his chest and says there's a wall, but the rest of us know isn't. That's exactly what's happened. Well, the president decided to act like a petulant 10-year-old because that was the poutiest press conference I've ever seen him give. And signed the legislation passed by Congress authorizing those funds that would avoid shutting down the government. But then also signed, Rick, an emergency declaration claiming that our southern borders are being overrun. Your take, sir.
this was you know, President von Munchausen out there today in classic Trumpian form, making up things that every sane American knows are completely untrue. In order to try to get any kind of win. He got, you know, look, Nancy Pelosi took him to the office.
Yes.
And spanked him over the budget. and the shutdown. And we all knew that was going to be the outcome. There was never a single rational person to believe that Donald Trump was going to make Nancy Pelosi blink on this thing. She had all the cards from the very beginning. But now what we're seeing, you know, and there's a part of it, and you and I have been around long enough, we look at the thing today and it's like, oh my God, look at this. He's being maniacal. He's just talking a million miles a minute. It's like he's coked out of his mind or something.
Right.
But, and it's funny on the one level, but on the other level, this is a president who just very clearly told us, I don't care what the Constitution says. I'm going to do what I want. And that is a precedent that is very dangerous for this country. And it is very risky for Americans to not pay attention to this right now, where he is telling us very clearly that Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution means nothing to him. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
And if parts of the Constitution are optional for one president, no political tool goes unused. Other presidents, Democratic presidents, will use those tools for their purposes and their ends and their desires when they say, oh, I can't get what I want through Congress, so I'm going to go ahead and just do it on my own.
And there's a reason, you put your finger on, I think, a very important point there, Rick, because there's a reason why the founding fathers wrote the Constitution the way they did, and particularly those provisions that clearly delineated the roles and purposes of each branch of government. And
correct.
Entrusted to the legislative branch, particularly the United States Congress, not the U.S. Senate, the House of Representatives. So it's very clear where they wanted the appropriating a power and authority to rest. In the House of Representatives. Why? Because that was the fullest representation of the people. It was the will of the people exercised when it came to certain types of expenditures. This
Absolutely.
President has decided, screw that. I didn't get my way. I want my damn wall, even though I know it was just a mnemonic so I could remember to talk about immigration when I was running for president. But be that as it never may, I want my wall. So I'm going to reappropriate monies already appropriated through to DOD specifically, as well as a few other agencies, and get what I want. So here, let me ask you this. What's your take on the idea? And some of us were doing a little bit of analysis of one particular part of the president's. It wasn't even a press conference. This was free conscious roaming of the brain. I mean,
this was a piece of performance art.
Yeah, he started off talking about China and North Korea. I'm like, dude, is this what you called us here for? What are you here for? But there was one part where he made reference to Barack Obama, and a lot of people didn't really catch on, I don't think, to what he was implying, if not, in fact, stating, was that he's going to attach this particular executive order declaring the national emergency to an existing executive order, I think, issued by Barack Obama in 2011 regarding the southern border. And the criminal enterprises that were sanctioned, so that there, you know, monies were locked off and everything like that. So, if you undo this Trump thing, you're going to effectively wind up undoing what Barack Obama did, which is still effective, and apparently has been working very effectively.
Yes, and look. The 13 emergency declarations Barack Obama made were all basically either foreign policy. So, you know, you can't give money to the Syrian regime and you can't give money to the, you know, Bosnian genocide guys and whatnot. And to target criminal enterprises, which he did and did effectively. And you know, that was a bipartisan. There was bipartisan support for that. And in part that came from one of the law enforcement budget items where they needed an extra layer, an appropriate layer of declaration so certain parts of the federal government could do the work appropriately.
Right.
But what Trump is trying to do is make that into, you know, the sweetener that keeps people on board. But I have to tell you, I don't think there's any motivation by Democrats or Republicans I suspect they'd produce a legislative solution to fix that if he tied it to whatever Obama had previously signed or as a declaration. But what we're really looking at, this is just one more time where all the norms and means and standards and rules that you and I thought conservatism represented are being thrown out the window.
Yeah.
You know, the conservatism in my book, and I think in your book too, you know, we didn't grow up in a world where it was burn everything down for fun because I can't get my way.
Right.
That doesn't strike me as the most conservative approach.
Well, and stop and think about it. You raise a very interesting thought, because go back and imagine Ronald Reagan after that very bruising Republican primary in 1976 against Ford, President Ford,
yep,
where the Republican establishment was just hog wild crazy to do anything but Ronald Reagan. They hated the man.
Yep.
Hated
yep.
him. Imagine him coming into office 4 years later as president and exacting retribution for people who didn't support him. I mean, because you notice, what did Trump say about Ann Coulter? He doesn't know jack crap about Ann Coulter, but what he does know is that she said something nice about him during the campaign.
Right. That's the whole scorekeeping mechanism. And it's like everybody else. The guy talks to her constantly until he doesn't know who she is. She's a coffee girl, obviously.
I know. I talked to Ann, talking to me about her conversations with Trump. So, I mean, like, wait a minute. You act like you don't know who Ann Coulter is, but it's the pathological liar in him that.
Yeah, of course. He can't help himself.
He cannot help himself. And if in order to say what he's about to say about someone that he's known and had a conversation, a relationship for a while, he's got to deny them first. He did the same thing with David Duke. He's like, David Duke, I don't know who David Duke is. What does he do? I'm like, okay.
Right.
Okay.
David what?
David what?
sure, Don. Tell me another.
So there is that aspect of this that I find so galling. Because you're absolutely right. All the things that you and I have been in trenches and battles over for many, many years, most times going against Democrats, but sometimes going up against fellow Republicans
to get it right.
You know, are those ideals and those virtues and those values that defined modern day conservatism. And our goal and our hope coming out of the 2016 election would be, how do we now, you know, redo this, upgrade it, make it better for the 21st century and beyond, right?
Yep.
Then along comes Trump. And all of that's thrown out. So the question now becomes, what does a Republican, because the party thing is just kind of shot to hell at this point.
Right. Yep.
What does a Republican do? Small R Republican, exactly. Very small R Republican. what do they do going forward in this environment? Next year's going to be brutal. My prediction, standing right here now, is the Senate is lost next year.
I think we may have, and I think that's why Mitch McConnell has been so very nervous about another shutdown.
Yes.
I talked to one of the Senate pollsters who expressed to me during the middle of the shutdown, I said, when did you want this to end? He said, I wanted this to end never, ever to start at all.
Right.
But we are in deep shit right now. We are in deep trouble, and they're blaming us and they're blaming Trump. And we're going to take the damage, and he'll just drift away from this.
Right.
And he says, we've got purple state senators up for re-election. You know, 2020 is our bad year on the cycle.
I know.
And we only had 8 Republicans up who were vulnerable this time. Next time we have 23 at minimum.
And now,
maybe with retirements, 25.
Yeah. And right now, 6 of them are, from what I'm hearing through the various committee pipelines, are in real, pretty much toast.
I don't know how much more winning you want.
I think
I've had enough winning right now.
Yeah, I'm done with the winning. I get it. Can we lose? Can we just lose some? That'll be fine for me right now, because the winning is kicking my ass. Okay?
The winning. I am beat down by all this winning.
So I don't know what a small R Republican does. You know, I hate to lose. You know, guys like Schmidt and Scarborough. You know, I hate to lose, you know, folks like SC Cup and others who, you know, represent such a broad spectrum of modern day conservatism. And yet it's been Trumpified to the point that what was once of real value to us is unrecognizable. So I don't know what you do. I mean, I got asked at a program recently, what do you, you know, what does the party look like a year from now? I'm like, grits? I don't know.
Honestly, I got nothing on that front at this point because, you know, and I've got Republicans right now who are saying things like, well, you know, as bad as this whole emergency declaration is, as unconstitutional as it is, well, you know, Green New Deal. What? I mean, they're conflating, you know, a girl who's who's a brand new congressperson and who's, you know, barely out of college with, oh, let's shred the Constitution because we're afraid of her Twitter feed.
Right.
Let's let Donald Trump run rampant for four more years because of some 28-year-old congresswoman's Twitter feed. I mean, this to me strikes me as a bad set of trade-offs. You know, do you want to keep a party that has a long and honorable tradition, or do you want to just throw it all to the wind and say, screw it, you know, I'd rather own the libs than have a functioning constitution?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I assess where they are right now. I called it the most pathetic form of fecklessness. I mean, it's one thing to be feckless; it's another just to be pathetic at that, even that. And right now, I'm watching and listening to, you know, guys like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, you know, say, I stand with the president. If he wants to violate the Constitution for political purposes and his own self-aggrandizement and self-appeasement, I'm with him. And that's what I
MAGA
hear.
All the way.
MAGA all the way.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, look, this has been a subject I know you struggle with and I certainly struggle with in the last couple of years. This slow realization that a lot of the stuff we really thought that the party cared about and we cared about, balanced budgets, addressing the debt and the deficit, you know, limited government, not having an all-powerful executive. A lot of those things we used to say we cared about, apparently a lot of our compatriots actually never did.
Right.
Because, you know, we've got a trillion dollar debt now. And the reaction of Washington has been a collective shrug. I mean, I remember going on shows the entire length of the Obama administration, pulling what little hair I have left out, saying this debt and deficit are going to absolutely kill us. This is a disaster. This is an existential threat to our country. And now it's like the shoulder shrug, like, oh, well, whatevs.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a situation where everything that we ran on for decades has been proven to be either a lie or disposable.
And yeah,
it is frightening
hurts.
And it's frightening and horrible. And you know, the problem with the things like today of Trump suddenly taking all this additional executive power is when a Democrat takes office, they're not going to say, oh, well, Trump was wrong. He went too far. They're going to say, here's a new toolbox I have. And if Trump could do it and get away with it, I'm going to do it too. And I think we're in a real, really bad spot as a country because of what Trump has done and the abuse of this particular constitutional restriction is going to be one we regret and regret and regret and regret.
Because you know what's going to happen. The first Democrat. Okay, let's do best case scenario. Best case scenario, because of the Democrats that are running, there's some who are closer to Republicans than others.
Sure.
And if I'm doing a scale, certainly Amy Klobuchar is closer to, you know, sort of a liberal Republican than she is a progressive, right?
Right. More of a centrist Democrat than a progressive,
right,
you know,
right.
AOC type.
And I would even, and this is where she's going to get in, I think Kamala Harris is a little bit more too, particularly on certain issues, although she's trying to do that whole progressive thing. Go back and look at her record. Homegirl's a little bit closer to center right on some things than others.
Yeah, she is. And don't tell the rest of Democrats. They're getting upset about it already.
Already, right? But here's the best case scenario for Republicans is someone like an Amy Klobuchar comes into the Oval Office, and there's another mass gun shooting at a high school or an elementary school or even a mall or a movie theater. And in the days after that, she stands before the nation and declares a national emergency that, you know, this is the last time we're going to see 40 children killed in a classroom or, you know, 100 people shot up at a mall, and then decides to issue an executive order declaring such emergency and putting in place the kinds of gun regulations that legislatively have not been able to get passed, you know, whether it's the, you know, closing the loophole on at gun shows and or et cetera. What do you think? What do you think Mitch McConnell, who's probably going to be in retirement after 20 anyway, but what do you think the next Senate minority leader or Republican or even still majority leader is going to say? What do you think Republicans in the House are going to say? Where do you think Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and all those guys?
Oh, I think they'll I think they'll be shocked. They'll be appalled. They'll be tearing their hair out. They'll be setting their asses on fire and running through the streets. And they will say, this is an egregious, abuse of the constitutional power of the presidency. And they have no one to blame but themselves. No one at all.
And this strikes this strikes me, putting it the way you put it, because it reminds me of that moment between Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell said to Harry Reid, you really don't want to do this, when Harry Reid was threatening to go nuclear on lower federal bench appointments, not Supreme Court. He was talking about just all the other federal benches. Right? We got to get this done. We got to do it now. And so McConnell was like, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to open that Pandora's box. And I find it highly ironic that as many of us, I've heard you on MSNBC, myself and others say, you don't want to do this. Members within the Republican caucus telling McConnell, you don't want to do this. And not heeding his own advice, knowing full well what the consequences are, which then leads me back to the point you made before, Rick, which I love this. I love the quote because I think it powerfully states exactly the situation, that either those warnings meant something or they meant nothing, you know, and so either everything that we have regarded about the Constitution, about the rule of law, and about republicanism, conservatism on economic and foreign policy, either all of that was a lie or it is absolutely disposable. It is in the moment, we don't need it, therefore we can dispose of it.
Yeah, and you can't remake a broken mirror. You can't remake a broken glass. This is going to be something where we look back and go, if only we could have, if only someone had warned us, if only we knew what would happen. Well, we're telling them right now, as loud as we can, that this is really, really, really going to end very, very badly. And no one who is on board with this idea of an emergency order that and especially because, as a smart lawyer, and I had a discussion earlier today, especially because this is an executive order that reaches into the budget.
Yes.
That reaches into the budget. And that means that the appropriations process, as outlined under Article 1, Section 9, is just out the window. And that presidents suddenly have vast new powers to manipulate budget outcomes and to manipulate things because they have a political whim to do so. Oh, well, you know what? I don't like Senator so-and-so, so therefore, I'm going to go ahead and cancel all these projects, you know, flood control projects in their district. I don't like Congressman such-and-such, so I'm going to go ahead and remove this military contract for a plane being built in his district. All these things are going to add up. And if it's a Democratic president who wants to bring enormous agony onto a Republican, well, guess what? They'll get exactly what they paid for.
Right.
They will get that pain. They will get that shocking degree of extra constitutional or unconstitutional behavior, and they won't have remedy for it. We will have given up that remedy. We've given up that ability to say, wait, the system we all agree to, all the ground rules that we all agree to, say, you don't do that. You don't do this. This isn't how we work in this country. Well, guess what? It is now.
It is now. And I think it is the worst kind of Pandora's box to open because, to your point and what you said, it goes to really core stuff. I mean, you're talking about budgets and real numbers, and people will be impacted by this. I mean, it's like the last shutdown. What made Donald Trump finally squeal like a stuck pig on the shutdown was the fact that the people he thought would be hurt in blue states they were the folks in the red states who were getting hurt.
Yeah. They turned out to look a lot like Trump voters.
And
all those government employees weren't like guys sitting in huge offices with Persian carpets. They were, you know, TSA guys making $17 an hour.
Right, right. And so it reminded me, I was reading a couple of articles, and we'll probably do a future podcast on this because I just think it's such a fascinating storyline, that as folks are now starting to do their taxes, You know who are getting slammed. I mean, while red state Republicans are getting slammed for sure, it is very clear that the changes in the tax law, particularly getting rid of the state and local tax deduction, is creaming folks in blue states by a disproportionate number. And the author was like, at some point, The crying is going to go so loud that the Democrats are going to start making tax proposals that are going to really change the dynamic in the discussion, because you can't sustain it. We're not getting the revenue coming in.
Right. Well, that was Michael. That was part of the reason we lost several congressional seats in California in Orange County, because you had Democrats who were to the right of the Republicans saying, "Hey, they took away a tax deduction that helps middle-class families like you." And those middle-class families are behaviorally Republican, but if you screw them hard enough long enough, they can look at the other team.
Yeah.
And I suspect we're going to get a lot of that coming up in 2020.
I think you're right about that. So let's shift gears real quick and get a little bit judicial. How do you think the courts will play this thing out? You know their lawsuits are going to be coming. I'm sure that the first will be filed before the weekend is out. If not, then certainly by Monday. My bet is, I don't know, I got a sick feeling about it. I think in the end, he winds up prevailing. He'll lose at the lower level, but I think if this thing makes it to the Supreme Court, I can see, you know, I'm holding out for Justice Roberts, but I can also see him going, okay.
I can do that. I am not an attorney, and so I'm not going to make a legal judgment on the merits of it, at the various levels. But obviously, Trump wasn't wrong. They'll take it to the Ninth Circuit first. Of course they will.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Michael. I think we're going to end up, this is going to be 6 months or a year of these problems going back and forth of litigating this thing. And because of that, you know, there's not going to be a wall hanging out there in 2020 where everyone goes, "Oh, hey, that's the wall. Trump made the wall. There it is. We're good to go."
Right.
So I think that we end up in a situation where Trump may think that all this litigation is a net political benefit, but what his people need to really see is physical barrier being built in the form of a concrete wall, not a fence, not bollards, not repairs to the sheet metal fence. They need to see like the real thing. And if they don't see the real thing, I think they're going to have trouble maintaining the sort of fantasy bubble where they may be at rallies screaming, "Oh, build the wall, finish the wall. It's almost done." Yeah. Well, it's a long border and there ain't nothing there. and there's not going to be anything there in the next 18 months.
No, it's not going to be there. And the truth of the matter is, in the end, it's not going to be built, period, because just on the lawsuits that come from the land grab that would be necessary
You know, Michael, I remember, I mean, I maybe it's a long time ago, maybe we're just getting old, but I remember when we didn't like the government seizing private property.
I thought we were against it, too.
I have a memory of that.
I vaguely remember Republicans, we don't like you, the government coming and taking your property from you. No, I thought we were against that, but I guess now, I guess it's okay. We can do that now and sleep at night.
It's a new world. It's a brave new world.
Well, Rick Wilson, man, I appreciate you taking the time out to sort of
as always, my friend,
drill down on this crazy day in Washington. Stay tuned, folks. There's a lot more of this coming for sure. But the one thing I can guarantee, if you want some really smart political insight on what's going on and how and why it matters, check out my man Rick Wilson. Certainly follow him on Twitter at the Rick Wilson, and certainly pick up the book Everything Trump Touches Dies: A Republican Strategist Gets Real About the Worst President Ever. Rick Wilson, thanks, man.
Thanks, sir. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. Before I go, just want to just raise one little thing with you. You know, it happens to most of us at some point or another. Debt just sort of creeps up on you. You know how that is. How many of us have looked at our finances and screamed, "How can we make this much and still have so much debt?" Unexpected repairs, replacing the washer and dryer, medical bills, and of course the killer, those insane interest credit cards you had to use to pay for it all, right? Here's a really smart move that could help you get on top of your finances. Get a fixed-rate personal loan at bestegg.com. The rates are great right now. Now imagine finally being able to pay down those crazy high credit cards and bills and then bank the money you save each month. Consumers have rated Best Egg 4.8 out of 5 stars on Consumer Affairs because of the super easy online app that takes about a minute with no impact to your credit score. Upon approval, funds can be deposited in as little as one business day. So get your bills under control. Bank what you save. And take control of your finances with a loan from BestEgg.com. Visit BestEgg.com/plan. That's BestEgg.com/plan. All right, folks, that does it for now. Thanks so much for checking out the Michael Steele podcast. Please make sure you download us at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts on at your convenience. Spread the word. Share the news. We have a lot of great conversations, and we're so glad you could be a part of it.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.